Hi everyone, I'm Andy.
And I'm Allie.
And welcome back to yet another episode of your favorite media and book club podcast, Marianne and Wanda. How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was a lot of fun. Got to see my nephew Lou, and he's like up and walking now.
Oh.
And his favorite game is, well, right now, his current favorite game is to just go in the pantry. You know, we have like the separate pantry with the shelves on the wall.
Yeah.
And he just takes, we've got a tomato shelf on there, and he takes the tomato paste and he puts it on a different shelf and then he moves it back. And his favorite is just like moving the tomato paste around in the pantry.
That sounds like a Rosie game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Apparently kids, yeah, it doesn't take much to entertain them.
Yeah. You buy all these toys and they're just amused with the tomato paste.
Yeah, my mom bought like this giant, it's like a ball pit thing. It's like one of those flimsy tent things connected by a tunnel and you can put a whole bunch of balls in there.
Yeah.
Lou just likes, he like would take a ball out and just like eat on it for a little while. But my mom's cat Gus really liked it. He would get in there and like jump around and chase all the balls. And I was like, you didn't buy this for Lou, you bought this for Gus.
That's funny.
Yeah. How was yours? How was South Carolina?
It was good. We left at 4 o'clock in the morning to drive down there, which was the move because we did not hit any traffic except for like 30 miles until we got off the interstate. And there was so much road work. Like, I don't know who decided that the best day to repave the road was the day before Thanksgiving when everybody's traveling. But I don't know. I don't know who made that call. But yeah, we sat in traffic for probably an hour, like 20 to 30 miles before we got off the interstate. And then once we got off the interstate and we were in South Carolina, they started also repaving the highway. And I was like, who's poor planning was this? Because this is so not ideal. Yeah. But it was fine. I am getting sick. Rosie's a little bit snotty as well. So I don't know, again, if it's just the change in weather getting colder or probably not, though.
Yeah, I'm drinking some hot chocolate tonight and enjoying it.
Ooh, that sounds good. So Rosie has been singing the pumpkin pie song that one of her YouTube people made, and I've been singing it too, but we did not have pumpkin pie because my grandma has always made sweet potato pies. So I got a pumpkin pie at Kroger on Sunday so that she could try some, and because the pies were on sale, and she would not even taste it. So I was like, fine, more for me.
That's funny. Lou, I had some extra pie filling that didn't get into the crust. I had too much pie filling for the crust. And I like baked it in a separate little pan. And my mom gave some to Lou, and Lou loved it. He like loved the pumpkin pie filling.
Aww. Kept eating it. Yeah, Rosie was missing out, but whatever. So before we jump into today's movie, did you see that everybody has been posting their Spotify Wrapped?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I saw the ones for the podcast, and I wanted to share a couple end of the year, I guess, key points that it gave us.
Okay.
We have four people that Marianne and Wanda was their number one streamed podcast.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe it? So if you are one of those top four people, which I have a feeling that Adam might be one of them, but I need to check.
See what platform he uses.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm sure it's Spotify. If you're one of those top four people, let us know and I'll send you a little treat.
Ooh. Hey, you still owe me a little treat too.
Yeah. Maybe I'll send you one too. But we were also in the top 10 podcasts for 24 different people. So we're doing good.
Not so bad at all.
Yeah, our most streamed episode, which is no surprise to me, was All Good People Here by Ashley Flowers. Mm. Which it was the most streamed episode by like three times more than all the other ones.
Wow.
Also, I didn't remember when we did that one, but I thought it was the year before. But who knows? Anyway. And then we had people in 11 different countries listen to us. So that's
wow, we're international.
International. And we created 1,700 minutes of content.
Wow. We're very prolific. Good for us.
Sticking with it.
Yeah.
Even though we have busy lives and fams and work and school and whatever. Anyway, yeah. So those are just some quick updates. I thought they were interesting.
Yeah, I wish, I really want Apple Podcasts to do the same thing because that's where I listen to all my podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be interested to know, yeah, what our stats are on that one too.
I think it, I need to go back and look at our analytics, but I think it says like 30% or roughly exactly a third of our listeners listen from Apple Podcasts. So there's probably more people than I realize, but that was just the Spotify stats, obviously.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So this week we rewatched the 2003 classic Freaky Friday, the one with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. Did not realize that there was previous versions of this until seeing your notes and looking it up.
Yeah. I mean, this is, let's just do a quick overview before we get into it for anyone who's foolish enough not to have seen this.
Yeah.
And this is, of course, the classic film of mother and daughter duo Dr. Tess Coleman and Anna Coleman, who, like many other moms with teens, argue constantly. One morning, after a very public disagreement over Anna potentially missing Tess's rehearsal dinner for a band audition, they wake up in each other's bodies until, quote, what they see is what they lack, and selfless love will change them back. Will they be able to make the world right again without ruining Tess's wedding or Anna's band? I have to say, I enjoyed rewatching this. I don't think I've seen it since like maybe high school time. Like, probably whenever we last watched it together.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the last time I'd seen it too. And like, I've obviously seen it so many times that I remembered how it went, but I can't remember the last time I watched it. But yeah, probably high school.
Yeah. But and it's been 20 years nearly since it came out, like just over 20 years, which is insane.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound real to me.
I know. I think we were 9, roughly.
Yeah. I mean, I was 8. Also insane, I didn't realize how much money this movie made. It had a $26 million budget, but it made $161 in the box office.
Yeah, that's so, that seems pretty good to me.
Yeah, $135 net. So, like, wow. Quite impressive, considering.
That is a big profit.
Yeah, and I think it's also shocking to me because this is like right after they started making movies more for teenage girls. I think like this is right after you know, our favorite movie, The Princess Diaries. Wow, I don't know why that just went out. Like and I think that like they realized they could make movies more for our demographic that would make a lot of money in the box office, so I don't, maybe that's just factoring into it.
Yeah, I guess along with that too, Mean Girls came out the year after this movie, which to me, when I was thinking about that, Lindsay Lohan to me in Freaky Friday looks very obviously young, but then in Mean Girls, I thought she looked very obviously more mature. So it's crazy that they're just 1 year apart.
Yeah. And I mean, there must have been some overlap in filming too. So yeah, insane. You didn't know that this wasn't the first time this movie had been made? You didn't know there were other ones?
No, I mean, I would, like I said, I was 9 when it came out. I didn't know the history of other Freaky Fridays.
Well, but I feel like we must have talked about this because I knew, like, I knew there were older ones. I couldn't have told you like it came out in 1976 and starred Barbara Harris and Jodie Foster.
I don't think I ever thought to look it up. I mean, like, I knew The Parent Trap had an older version, but I never really cared about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's because that one's not as good. Correct. Or so I hear. I'm not foolish enough to watch the old one.
I think I've only watched clips of the old one and was not impressed, so I didn't want to watch the rest.
And also what's interesting is that there was a second one that was made in 1995, so they only made this, you know, like 8 years before, you know, like 5 years before they pitched the idea, which is like a very quick turnaround, I think.
Yeah, I've never heard of Shelley Long or Gabby Hoffman that starred in the 1995 one, so I wonder if that one was kind of a flop.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was made for TV. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah. But we have confirmation of a sequel.
Yes.
To the Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan version.
Yes, very exciting.
I saw that. I've seen that a few times floating around social media, and I wanted to believe it, but I always figured it's probably fake news.
Yeah.
But if you saw it confirmed too, maybe it's true.
No, it is true. I looked it up.
I wonder how that one will go.
My main sources for this were Wikipedia, and then The Hollywood Reporter had a very nice oral history from everyone who was involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that at one point they were talking about like Lindsay Lohan having a daughter and seeing like the dynamic of the three generations together.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would make the most sense.
Yeah, so I think that's an option, but I'm not certain. Don't quote me that that's like actually what's going to happen.
They should just do a Harry and Grandpa switch and like make that actually happen.
That would be fun. You know, that wasn't the original ending to this movie.
No.
So they were going to have it actually end on like an earthquake with them opening up the cookie. And then they decided to have Pepe. I think that's how you say her name, right?
That's
what I said it. Okay. Yeah. As played by Rosalind Chow. She goes and tackles them and saves it. And that was just like a funnier ending that they thought fit better. So,
yeah, I'm glad they did it that way. I also see your note that the original script had Lindsay Lohan's character as a student reporter. And I am not on board with that. I'm so glad they made her into like a punk rocker, angsty teenager.
Yeah, like the angle they were going for was her wanting to interview Gwen Stefani at the House of Blues. So like still involving the music side and the music venue.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was criticism from someone involved who was like that you have then like sort of the same type of person and the mom and the daughter of like a studious nerd. Yeah, so having her be a rebel instead made so much better story, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I also think that having Lindsay Lohan's character be a punk rocker and like a really good guitar player, I think that probably inspired a lot of young girls to want to learn music around that age, at least in that time period, 2003, whatever.
In the early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad she was not a student reporter. I was trying to figure out why I didn't like that, but I think you're right. She would have been too similar to the mom for it to really feel like that big of a change if they swapped bodies.
Yeah, because like I feel like they wouldn't have like the central tension between them.
Yeah,
and like I don't know how you would get a similar feel from nerdier. I don't mean that in like a bad way in any way, but like in two nerdier women.
So. Two similar people in general. They didn't necessarily have nerdy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Did you notice that with the director being Mark Waters? Did you notice in the scene when they're having to give an explanation of Hamlet that Mr. Waters was the first student to be called on?
Oh, no.
I don't know that was intentional or not, but I figured it had to be.
Oh, I like that. That's a nice little nugget. I'm choosing to believe it was there to find.
Yeah, I don't know, but I feel like it has to be.
Yes. Well, yeah, that was the director. He also did Mean Girls and Ghosts of Girlfriends Past.
Oh, wow. And so he must have been working on Mean Girls at the same time, too.
Yeah, and both of them with Lindsay Lohan. So he was like a big fan, I guess.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. She really knocked it out of the park in both of these.
Yeah.
It was written by Heather Hatch, who's also I think you say that is a librettist. Do you know what that person does?
No. I would have said librettist.
Okay, that might be actually how it's said, because it's the person who like writes the dialogue in like operas and musicals. So it might be librettist, then it would be more like operettist, which I think is also a word maybe. She just also does that, and then she also wrote What to Expect When You're Expecting and Legally Blonde the musical. And then it was co-written with Leslie Dixon, who wrote Mrs. Doubtfire and produced Gone Girl. You've seen Mrs. Doubtfire, right?
Yeah, we should definitely add that to our list in the future.
We should. I want to rewatch that.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
And then there was also a tie to Andrew Gunn, who just, as we found out, produced Cruella and The Haunted Mansion. So that's very nice.
Yeah.
And then I also wanted to just mention that Rolf Kent did the music. He also did the music in Legally Blonde and Mean Girls and Failure to Launch and 17 Again. Like a lot of hits, at least from my childhood and life, I guess, in general. I think like the music in this, the original songs are truly incredible and really enhance the the whole experience. So I just wanted to give him a nod because he's great.
Yeah, I had the soundtrack growing up. I had the soundtrack for the movie. And they're all bangers, no skips.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you know that the song that they perform at the House of Blues was actually recorded by the girl who's the lead singer?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, she actually recorded it. I guess they did a voiceover or whatever. But, like, it's actually her singing the song on the CD and in the scene.
Nice. Well, hats off to her. You mean Christina Vidal, like, Maddie?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, she did a great job, though. Got a good voice.
Yeah, I always just assumed that she was just, like, lip-singing and they had somebody else actually record it. And it was her.
Now we know. Of course, we've already mentioned Jamie Lee Curtis, but she is the mom, Tess Coleman, Dr. Tess Coleman in this. And Mark Waters, the director, like, one of the first quotes in that oral history article was that her casting ended up saving the movie because her energy and her chemistry with Lindsay, like, the two of them had a lot of aggressive energy and aggression is funny. And they, like, weren't scared to get into it with each other and, like, really, like, dig into the whole opposites in the mom and daughter here. So
yeah, I can't think of another female actress that could have played the mom any better.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nobody comes to mind.
I've got nothing. Jamie Lee Curtis is just, like, she's got such range. She's so funny.
Yeah. And then Mark Harmon played Ryan. What else is he in? Because he looks so familiar, but I couldn't really think of what else he was in. I also didn't bother to look it up.
He stars in NCIS, of course.
That's probably what it's from. I know I've seen him, like, advertised in other stuff and whatever. I just couldn't place him.
Yeah, like, he's done a bunch of other stuff. Like, he was in the West Wing, which is also how I know him. But I think you would know him from NCIS.
So then Lindsay Lohan obviously played Anna Coleman. I wonder, did she have any roles between Parent Trap and Freaky Friday other than Clueless, maybe?
She was in Clueless?
She was the main girl. Not Clueless, Get a Clue. I was going to say, she's the main girl, but she's not the main girl in Clueless.
She's definitely not the girl in that.
That's what I meant.
Let's see. Okay. Confession of a Teenage Drama Queen was around the same time. Get a Clue, yeah. That's, and The Parent Trap, not really. She had an episode in The Wonderful World of Disney and in Betty, which is a TV series, but, like, nothing really. These were her main roles.
Yeah. So she was, like, cranking them out one after another, back to back to back.
Yeah, 98 with Parent Trap, 2003 with Freaky Friday, 2004 for Drama Queen and Mean Girls. Like, yeah, back to back to back.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, Chad Michael Murray.
He plays the heartthrob. I had to look it up because this man played a teenager in both A Cinderella Story and this. And I was like, there's no way this man has been a teen for this long.
Yeah. What year did Cinderella Story come? Was it 2004?
Something like that.
Yeah. So he was, playing teenager, still not a teenager. So I made some notes of this later on, but I never even considered when I was younger watching this that his age was even a question. But, like, is he a student? Is he a faculty member? Is he a teenager? Is he not? Like, what is going on with him?
I think he's supposed to be a teen. The vibe I get is, like, either a senior who was held back a year, or maybe, like, a second year senior, like, had to come back and repeat senior year for some reason.
Yeah.
But they do say, he says at one point that he works at the school, and that's why he's always there when she's in detention.
Yeah, but I didn't get the impression that he was dumb, like, and had to be held back because he failed. But yeah, he did say that he worked there. So I was like, maybe he's like a teacher's assistant or something. I don't know.
I don't think so.
But he definitely seemed too old to actually be in high school.
Yeah. Well, he was 19 when it was filmed and 22 when it came out. So
yeah.
Honorable mentions are, of course, Lucille Song, who plays Paper, who instigates the whole plot line of this. As I already mentioned, Rosalind Chow as Pepe, and Stephen Tobolowsky as Mr. Bates. He's just, like, such a B-list actor who's just in a whole bunch of random movies.
Yeah. So I guess when we get into some of our notes that we made, to keep going along with Jake, you made some notes that he was very pushy with Tess. How did you feel about the rest of that dynamic?
You know, I didn't like it. Like, I thought it was funny, and I still do think it's funny, but it also gives me, like, just enough of a teeny tiny red flag that I'm like, I don't love this. Just because, yeah, he's, like, incredibly pushy, and she tells him, like, on 3 or 4 multiple occasions, like, please just leave.
Yeah.
Like, not now. Don't talk to me now. And I definitely think that, like, if the genders were reversed and this were instead, like, a teenage girl and an older man, like, I think that that would be even worse.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah. But also, like, I didn't understand his thinking of, like, okay, she's told me no, but I'm going to keep persisting and I'm going to show up to her wedding rehearsal. Like, what was your plan there, dude? Like, yeah. I just got to talk to her. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah. Like, he says, you're not really going to get married, are you? And it's like, she met you, like, 2 days ago. Yeah. And you're a teen. So.
Yeah.
So my friend, no.
The quote, you really need to find someone your own age, Jake. It's like, okay, but is he a student? Is he a faculty? Why is he, like, so pushy with the mom, but then also likes Anna at the end? I don't know. It just seemed a little weird.
Yeah. And, like, I get it because it's, like, Anna's personality, or it's supposed to be Anna in Tess, right? So she's, like, supposed to be a teen, but.
Yeah.
A little bit too much.
So when I was a kid, I would sometimes get confused when, like, with the dialogue from who it was coming from, because, like, especially the rehearsal dinner speech, I could not, as a kid, keep straight of who was actually talking. Like, it was coming out of Tess's mouth, but it was Anna's words. That whole thing sometimes just got me so confused. I was trying to keep up with who was the one actually talking.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, like, part of it. Like, Anna, I guess, like, Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis both did a really good job of playing each other.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. In 2003, 9-year-old Andy was a little confused.
What didn't confuse me then but did confuse me now has to do with the timeline of the switch, because, you know, the original switch, they break open the fortune cookie and we have the earthquake, but they don't actually switch bodies until they wake up. Mm-hmm. But then when they switch back, it's immediate.
Yeah. And then along with that, the initial switch, it was just the two of them who felt it, but then at the end when they switch back, the entire room of the rehearsal party also feels it. So it's like, why did they feel one and not the other?
Yeah, very odd. I like never really thought about that, either of those, before. But yeah. You'd think, like, I guess maybe for the earthquake you could say that nobody was in the room with either of them,
or they were separated, like, not right next to each other.
Yeah, but you would still think you would feel it based on, like, the shaking.
Yeah, but I don't know, I never considered either of those when I was younger either.
I mean, it had to work that way.
So cool, though. I mean, okay. Also, one other question I had for you. If you switched bodies with somebody, not necessarily Ginge, but you could pick Ginge if you wanted. If you switched bodies with somebody, would you give them a makeover?
A makeover? Oh, like the way that Anna does?
Yeah, I was really glad that Jamie Lee Curtis's character is the one who got the makeover, instead of, like, we typically see, like, a teenager makeover montage where they all of a sudden become beautiful. They take off the glasses, take off the ponytail, whatever. But I'm glad that it was the mom's character that got the makeover in this movie. Mm-hmm. But I just thought it was funny that Anna was like, platinum. I think I'll go on a shopping spree.
Let's make her look a little cooler. Yeah. It would probably depend on the person, but yeah. For sure. Like, if Lib and I switch, for sure. Like, we're cutting off some of Lib's hair. We're having a good time. We'll get her another tattoo. We'll pierce something. It'll be fun.
Yeah. I don't know if I would, though. I mean, like you said, I guess it depends on who it is. But I would also, like, if somebody did that to me, I would feel betrayed that they cut my hair off or something like that.
Yeah. It'd be funny, though. Maybe not a tattoo, then, because then you can't. It's hard to get rid of those. But
yeah,
I think anything else is fair game.
Yeah. I just thought that was funny when I was thinking, like, wonder if Allie would do a makeover or not on whoever you switched with.
Yeah. I mean, she also, like, her hair, Jamie Lee Curtis's hair already was short, and then she got it cut even shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's her look, but I also hated it, like, how short it got. It really stressed me out for some reason.
You hated it watching it back now or when we were younger?
Now, for sure. I don't know about younger.
I didn't mind it. I mean, it definitely was very short. Like, I think if they went from, like, shoulder-length hair and then cut it to what her hair originally was in the start of the movie, that could have also been a good change.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I didn't mind it.
I will say, though, I do think she looked better overall after the makeover. So Lindsay Lohan did a good job.
Yeah. Your note that says, didn't we used to sing and dance to this song all the time? What song is that?
Take Me Away. I remember, I have distinct memories of us, like, dancing in your living room to this song.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, that CD was worn out.
Yeah, we must have listened to that all the time.
Yeah.
I loved it. I mean, it's such a good song.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny that, like, I see your other note that when they're at the House of Blues and they're performing that song, that I watched it again, that scene, the fake guitar playing was so terrible.
On both their parts. And, like, yeah, Lindsay on stage, like, trying to act like she's strumming along and just, like, going back and forth and just, like, casually strumming. It's just,
And then she takes her hands off the guitar and waves them in the air.
Yeah.
But so even the other girl with the black hair, Peg, she's not playing either. And neither is the bass player. And neither is Jamie Lee Curtis, who's supposed to be, like, the rock star doing the guitar solo. None of their hands are moving at all.
The drummer was playing, though, right? He looked like he was doing it real.
I mean, I wouldn't know any different, but looked like it to me, I guess.
I love that scene. I think it's one of my favorite scenes just because, you know, you, like, you come in and you've got Jamie Lee Curtis who's trying to book it into this party and she gets stopped by the bouncer and she's like, oh no, I'm not old enough. And then she's like, oh wait, yes I am. I've got ID.
ID for one.
Yeah. And then she gets upstairs and she's watching from upstairs trying to yell at Anna on stage. And then she makes it backstage and, like, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
This woman must have been flying.
Yeah, she makes it up there and plugs in all before the guitar solo of one song.
Yeah, but incredible. And then absolutely nails the guitar solo. Like, everybody's happy.
Who was Anna fooling when she for that guitar solo? She's, like, barely moving her hands and strumming.
Yeah, you know, now that you think about it, like, wouldn't the judges who were trying to, like, get them into Battle of Bands, wouldn't they have noticed that she
was... you would think. Also, for Jake to be staring up at her like, wow, Anna, you rock! Like, she's barely moving her fingers!
Hey, man, she rocks, though.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
But I also was in the oral history, the, I think it was the director said that at a party, Quentin Tarantino came up to him and just, like, walked him through that whole scene shot by shot and just, like, talking about how it was the perfect way to end this movie. And I was like, wow, Quentin Tarantino and I have something in common, as it turns out.
Yeah. So that was your favorite scene, The House of Blues?
Yeah, I think so. What's yours?
I think mine is the Dottie Robertson show.
When she's getting all those ladies to yell.
Yeah, and then the background music when she's crowd surfing is, she is beautiful, she is beautiful.
Yeah, that is a good scene. Like, the epiphany of what the back of the book is trying to say. And
yeah. Oh, man, yeah, that's funny. They're like, I actually read this one. And she goes, that makes one of us.
Yeah,
I think that was my favorite scene. Even though it didn't really, like, have a huge impact on the plot, it was still funny.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So did you have any favorite quotes?
Because I pulled them back out because I do, I remember quoting this a lot when we, after we'd seen this movie, like, oh, I'm like the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I liked Grandpa, if I have to switch with Harry, do I have to wear a thong?
And I also really liked when Tess is talking to her patient, Evan, and he starts off with, this morning was good. And then I got up and I was like, ah, Evan, I feel that in my soul.
Yeah. I feel that every day when my alarm goes off. Yeah. Yeah. My other two favorites was Mr. Bates going, that is seriously overreaching. Like, ooh, burn. And then my other one was, fresh air will do you good. What about bullies? Run fast.
I think something that this movie does well, I don't know, like, is how often the two boys, well, I guess the boys and the boy and the fiance, like, both, like, have these small epiphanies where they're like, this isn't quite right. But it, like, doesn't last long enough for them to really notice. I will not notice, but I guess really realize what's going on.
Yeah.
But I like the little moments where, like, when they're walking, when they first switch bodies and they're walking out of the mom's bedroom and Lindsay Lohan, like, caresses the her brother's hair.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's going on here?
Yeah. I did make note of that too, mostly of the fiance, of like, he did question some things like, why are you on the back of a Harley and like that kind of thing, but he mm-hmm. kind of just lets it go at the same time. Yeah. But it also made me realize how many Disney movies are centered around single parent households. Mm. But I did like that this one, the dynamic of adding a new member to their quote own little unit was nice, because sometimes you see, not necessarily Disney, but just movies in general, where the new parent, step parent, is not always well received.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked that it had a lot of the relationship between Tess and Ryan shown.
Yeah, and that they were happy.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he also like was clued in on something's not quite right, but I'm not going to push it. Yeah. Maybe he just chalked it up to wedding stress.
I mean, yeah, that had to have been like crossed his mind, especially whenever he saw Tess on the back of the motorcycle. Like that had to have been, he was just had to have been assuming that what it was, because like the alternative would be that she is going to leave him and she's like not at all the person he thought she was. And right. That I think would be way too much to handle for most people. So
yeah. Although I think if it was me, I would have been like, all right, we got to sit down and have a talk. Why are you on a motorcycle?
It's just overall a very good movie. The boy who plays her brother, whose last name is Mogherini, he just said, so this is my last little thing from the oral history. He said, everybody can kind of connect with feeling insufficient and feeling like you're not heard or not seen, or that their side isn't represented as well. I think a lot of people saw a lot of themselves in Lindsay Lohan. But I think that like that probably definitely like factored into why I liked it so much when I was younger, because I was like, I'm just like Lindsay. No one listens to me. No one respects me.
Yeah.
Though I wasn't the one who got their door taken away. That was my sister. So
I was going to ask if you ever had your door taken away or something like that physical, other than like your phone or a laptop or something like that.
No. Yeah. Lib was the one who got her door taken away on multiple occasions.
I think I remember that. I think I remember being at your house and walking past Libba's room and realizing her room is wide open.
Yeah. That's what happens when you slam your door too many times. Apparently. But I do think like, I think that must have factored into why I enjoy this. And I definitely think a lot of teenage girls can definitely relate with Lindsay Lohan's character. So.
Yeah. Yeah. This is probably, this and Parent Trap are my favorite movies of hers.
Yeah.
I mean, Mean Girls is up there too, but.
Yeah. Those two have a special place in my heart. Apparently, yeah. Mogherini didn't. I think it was him. He was told that Lindsay Lohan was going to play his sister. And he was like, oh, like, which twin did she play in The Parent Trap? Because he didn't realize that there was only one of
them. All right. Yeah. Well, should we rate it?
Yes. What's our scale?
I was going to say fortune cookies, but what do you think?
I like fortune cookies.
Okay. Well, you go first.
Solid, like, 4.9 out of 5. The only reason I'm docking a tenth of a point is because of the Tess Jake thing. It's a little bit on edge with it, but overall very funny, great music, great acting, great writing. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's funny too that like there's so many instances like that in movies that were in the early 2000s that when you watch them now, you're like, I don't really like that. But like at the time, nobody even thought twice about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've come a long way. Yeah. I think I'm going to go 4.8 for the same reason. All right, so let's go over real quick our short story and book for the month, which you picked both.
Yes, so next week we will be talking about the short story How to Be the Best Guest from Southern Lady Code by Helen Ellis. I'm very excited. I just got the audiobook. I think I'm probably going to end up listening to all of it based on the titles, but we'll see.
Yeah, I probably will too. I think it's only 3 hours long.
Yeah.
So yeah, I probably will too, but I'll start with that one.
Yeah. And then the book that I chose was Today Will Be Different by Maria Simple. Very excited for that one as well. That's the author of Where'd You Go, Bernadette, which if you haven't read that one, you should also read that book.
All right. Well, sounds good. I'm excited for those.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Marianne and Wanda. We would love to hear your feedback and if you have any books or topics for us to review.
You can reach us at Marianne and Wanda Podcast on Instagram or send us an email at Marianne and Wanda Podcast @gmail.com. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.